When Esau was 40 years old, he took Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, to be his wife, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring it to me so I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, 'Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord, before I die.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, listen to my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats so I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem to be laughing or seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go, bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went into his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me, and now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate. And he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father Esau, his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him." "Yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants. And with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of you both in one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I loathe my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be to me?" Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him, "You must not take a wife from the Canaanite women. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as your wife from there one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you that you may become a company of peoples. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham." Thus Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he directed him, "You must not take a wife from the Canaanite women." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and gone to Padan Aram. So when Esau saw that the Canaanite women did not please Isaac, his father, Esau went to Ishmael and took as his wife, besides the wives he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. All right, so we did an overview last time, which took up about half the time, which was good. I like doing that. I think it's good for us to do that. But just to recap, what's background in this passage? Why is older brother, younger brother, emphasized? The difference between Esau and Jacob, why is that emphasized? What has happened before this passage?
Esau sold Jacob his birthright for some red stuff.
Goods, yeah. So Esau brings that up. He stole my birthright, and now he stole my blessing. What happened even before they were born?
They were fighting in the womb.
Fighting in the womb. Rebecca says, "What is this, Lord? What does this mean?"
Two nations
are in your womb, and what does God promise?
The younger shall serve. The older shall serve the younger.
Yeah, the older shall. One will be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Right. So supremacy, priority is given to the younger, but then as they're being born, so Rebecca hears that. Sorry, back up a moment. Rebecca hears that. No indication from the text that she tells Isaac this. As they're being born, what are the circumstances of the birth? Does anybody remember?
Grabs his heel.
Yeah, so Esau comes out first, and he's all hairy and everything like that. And Jacob comes out grabbing the heel of Esau, right? right? And so their birth, so the warring is not just an indication of what's to come, but also the birth of Jacob just indicates what it is that he is. Like, he's a heel grabber, which is another way to say he's a deceiver.
It's like his mother.
And apparently he is like his mother. He learned it.
Mommy's boy.
He learned it from the best. Yeah, and so that's the other thing. So that the third piece of background information that we need to remember is Isaac and Rebecca have their separate preferred sons. So, Rich, you mentioned it. Rebecca loves Esau. I'm sorry. Rebecca loves Jacob. Sorry. And then I was impressed that I didn't say Rachel, because I always get Rachel and Rebecca. So Rebecca loves Jacob. Isaac loves Esau. Why does Isaac love Esau?
Because of the food.
Yes, he's a hunter. He's a mighty hunter, and he loves eating of the game. Now, Esau is such a mighty hunter that, such a great hunter that he is...
nearly dies.
He nearly dies when he's out on a hunting trip. He comes back famished. And he says, give me some of that red stuff that's there as Jacob is making his lentil stew, which is excellent, by the way. I think the last time we talked about this, I was like, ah, and then Michelle brought in some red stuff. And I was like, oh, this is really good. No wonder Esau wanted it. And then, but Esau kind of shows off, like, demonstrates his just... brashness isn't the word, but just his hastiness, his impatience, his over the topness, which Jacob shares a little bit, but it's like, I'm gonna die, and what good is my birthright to me if I don't if I die of starvation? You know, it's like, man, this is. But then you also see Jacob, who he's opportunistic, right? So he will take advantage of any opportunity that is given to him. So we see the two brothers. This kind of informs what Rebecca says about Esau. Is like, he's going to forget about it in a week. So don't, you know. Which is kind of true. So that's the background. Isaac, and so here Isaac intends to bless Esau. Now, one thing I didn't mention last time is that Isaac, this is based on what happens later, but there is some, no, I shouldn't say it's just based on what happens later. When Abraham blesses Isaac, he gives an inheritance to his other sons, right? He gives a portion to his other sons, born of the other wife, he's already sent Ishmael away. But everybody seems to be present when Isaac is blessed. Later on, Jacob blesses each of his sons, and we heard this morning Jacob blesses Joseph's sons, both of them at the same time. They're both present. Jacob in chapter 49 blesses the rest of his sons. It speaks to them about things of pertaining to the future. But the point is that they're all present. Isaac, based on those two, and then you compare it to this, contrast it with this, Isaac doesn't seem to be on the up and up on this. He doesn't seem to be full of integrity here, because he's only calling Esau. Right? He's saying, I don't know when I'm gonna die, and so I need to bless you before I die. That needs to happen. If Isaac doesn't seem to be doing this with integrity, that both of his sons need to be there. And this may be why Rebecca freaks out and comes up with this scheme. So I didn't say this last time, and so I'll say this now, that the beginnings, like this, Rebecca's response is not, we can't commend it, we can't condone it. But Isaac is not totally commendable here either. So any questions about that? No? Okay, so dysfunctional family. And the only thing that can, the only family that makes is even more dysfunctional is Jacob's family, because he has more than one wife and multiple sons coming from each wife. Yes.
So Esau not wanting the birthright, that kind of really tells a lot about who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because birthright is a big deal.
Yeah.
If you were the oldest son, that was keeping the gym, keeping things going. Or, for you not to want that,
yeah.
He wasn't interested in the spiritual things.
Right. Yeah. The,
then again, he's really mad about not getting the blessing, though.
Right, yeah. And Hebrews is actually going to make a big deal about that. So he looks back and he regrets it, but he's so, what is the word that I'm looking for? He is so in the moment. What's a word for in the moment?
He's allowed his
spontaneous.
Physical, I think one commentary is that his physical desires were, you know, he wanted to,
right.
to eat.
Yeah.
Physical desires are more important yeah. to him than spiritual yeah. desires.
Now, if you're starving, I mean, like, we can totally understand
it's
that.
Easy for us to say
that. Yeah. But he is, like, he is so spontaneous in a bad way. What did you say?
Short-sighted.
Like, in the moment, doesn't have perspective. And so, in that case, like, whatever is just immediate. And this is why Rebecca says what she says, and not without reason. Okay, so Isaac plans to bless Esau and sends him out to eat. Rebekah plans to undermine Isaac by having Jacob receive the blessing. and Jacob comes. Jacob brings up a potential flaw in the plan. And what's that flaw?
You might get a curse instead of a blessing.
Right, and why would he get a curse instead of a blessing? Yeah, because of the way that he feels, right? I'm a smooth man, and Esau is not. He's hairy. Okay, so that's one flaw. Is that the only flaw?
Voice.
Oh yeah, we haven't gotten there yet. You're supposed to like. Oh, is that the only flaw to the plan?
The smell.
Oh yeah, so Rebecca does try to mitigate that. So it's not just the feeling with the goat's hair, but it's also taking the best garments and putting them on Jacob before sending him in. And so there's it's all but so it's tactile and it's olfactory, right? Smelling, I guess. So those are the. That's how we're going to mitigate this, right? And obviously, the voice of Jacob is a different kind of thing.
I think it says a lot that he said nothing to his mom about it being wrong. Just how can we do this so we get away with it?
Right. Yeah. What's the worst that could happen from this? I get cursed, and not that like, you sure? Did God tell you to do this too? So yeah, that does say something. And then, but because of that, nobody's bringing up whether or not this is wrong. Even from Isaac's, like, with him only blessing Esau, like, there's something wrong customarily, culturally wrong there. And then obviously this is wrong on the face of it. And nobody's like, saying, maybe we shouldn't do this, which says something about God. God is committed to this family, committed to his blessing, his promises to Abraham, and it's because of Abraham's obedience that the blessing is applied and maintained to Isaac and now to the next one, to Jacob, and God's going to confirm that in the next chapter or two.
You almost think that that Rebecca might have actually told, you know, this is inferring, but you think like if he was wanting to do it in kind of secrecy and silence, you almost think he maybe heard from Rebecca or something. But then why then if Rebecca's saying that here's what I've heard from God, and so I don't know, it's just kind of interesting. But
yeah.
We don't really know, we're inferring, but still,
yeah,
I just think
yeah.
it's interesting.
I think that like all those questions that come up is like, why didn't they talk about this? Like what What is going on here?
Even just the way Isaac, instead of saying, I want to bless you, let me bless you, go make me some food first.
Right.
Then I'll bless. Like, that's just weird. Like, when we see Jacob blessing his sons, he just calls them and blesses them. And he's saying, he's like putting a condition on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Prepare it the way I like it. Not the way you like it.
Would they normally call all the sons and do it?
So that's where we have limited sources for that, but we have, like I said earlier, Abraham does seem to call all of his sons. So back in chapter 25, when he ends up blessing Isaac, as he's the one who's carrying this forward. And then, and there are already indications of that even before Sarah dies. But but then later on with Jacob, He brings in Joseph's two sons, blesses them at the same time, and then the rest of his sons in chapter 49 blesses all of them at the same time. And so we have two instances of the patriarch, the head of the family, bringing in all of the sons to bless them. And so Isaac not doing that here, it seems like there's something gone awry. So, yeah. Okay, so Rebecca thinks she's got the stuff covered, got all the bases covered, and the other reason why you would think that this would work at this point is what do we know about Isaac and how he relates to other people?
Passive.
What?
He's passive.
He's passive. Yeah, he's passive. So he gets pushed around. And things end up going well for him, right? So this is what chapter 26 is all about. Like he keeps finding water, digging wells and finding water wherever he goes. And that's because he's being kicked out of one place and pushed into another. And things are just going well. And he's, you know, he ends up being recognized as being blessed. So you know, Isaac's learning, like, I don't do anything. And things work out. So... that's what Rebecca is recognizing. Like, well, Isaac, my husband doesn't do anything, and then he gets blessed. This is working out for him. And so now so maybe if I put Jacob in this situation, he's just going to let it happen. He's not going to ask any questions. He's not going to push any buttons. This is just going to happen. My husband's passive, so he'll take it away. Okay? Maybe. Perhaps that's what Rebecca's thinking. I think as readers, we can make that inference based on Isaac just being passive throughout his life. So now the scheme goes into play. So he, this is Jacob, went in to his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Like, all right now, the plan has failed. Like, this is the moment Jacob opens his mouth to speak, it's done. Like, this should not go any further. Isaac should know, even though he's blind, he should know what's going on. But this also just points out, like, Rebecca and Jacob didn't think this through all the way. Right, and this actually sets up for later on in Jacob's life that he just doesn't. He comes up with these harebrained schemes. He doesn't think them through all the way, but they still work. Like, what is that? And it's because of God.
It's like the exact opposite. Like Isaac just doesn't do anything and it works out.
Yeah.
Jacob tries to do all these
right
things and it
right
works out.
Right. Yes.
So it doesn't matter.
Yes, and that's actually what Joseph is going to bring out. Twice with his brothers in chapter 45 and then also in chapter 50, that what you intended for evil, God intended for good. So what the Philistines intended for evil against Isaac, God intends for good. What Jacob and Rebecca intend for evil, God intends for good. And then obviously it happens with Joseph too. Jacob is he's the go-getter and it works, but not because he's the go-getter, right? Okay, so Jacob said to his father, and again, all the family terminology that comes up over and over and over in this chapter, my father, my mother, my son, all that stuff. He says, I am Esau, your firstborn. Now, the way this is in is written, the way this reads in Hebrew is kind of this way. So if I can increase, just imagine that I'm increasing the font in there. So, I am Esau. Like, he totally emphasizes, overemphasizes the I. I am Esau, your firstborn. Ha ha ha. You know, like, imagine him changing his voice or whatever. But that's how he's like, I am Esau. Like, I'm trying to convince myself that I actually am Esau. And so now he says, I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that your soul may bless me. Remember how this is put for later, because Esau is basically going to say the exact same thing. But Isaac, like, this is passive Isaac. He should be saying, okay, come on, you know, I'm here, I'm ready. But Isaac said to his son again, his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? Like, I've got questions. I need to have these questions answered before I just kill it. So Isaac is totally going out of character here, right? And why would he do that? Why would he ask questions? Why would he not be passive here? Like, think about, what is it that he's doing? What is it that he's intending to do?
He knows his sons.
He knows his sons, but what's he intending to do?
To give the family blessing.
Yeah, he's intending to give the blessing. Yeah. So this is a big deal, right? Jacob's going to do this thing later on when he himself is blind. We heard about that this morning, right? So, this is a big deal. Isaac wants to be sure, and this is another place where they just underestimated Isaac. Now, Isaac is still limited in what he can do in this situation, but he does everything that he can. So the first thing that Jacob says is, I am Esau, and then Isaac asks, so how did this happen? Like, this this is something else that's funny, especially in light of Esau going out, being this mighty hunter, but then not bringing anything back. The only other hunting trip he's ever had that we know of, he fails. And so Isaac says, like, what do you mean? You mean you got it already? Like, this is kind of abnormal for you, son. Success so quickly? I was just hoping you'd bring something back. I didn't care when. So anyway, it's just funny. I think it's funny. Nobody else is laughing, but thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. So this is the second thing he says, because the Lord your God granted me success. So just pick out the lies. He says, I'm Esau, and now he says what?
God cast it to him.
Yes. What's that, Aaron?
He says, your God. Your God.
So because it's the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, this would be a family way to speak that the God is the God of your father. I worship the God of my father. And so it's a way to give honor to family worship or whatever. So he's not saying anything about his relationship with God. He's putting the focus on Isaac's relationship with God, because right now that's where the focus is. And so your God blessed the endeavor. God caused it to. He granted success. But so now he's invoking, but what you said, Sandra, he's invoking God into the success stories. Like, so lying to his father, lying about God's role in it. Like, this guy, man. So then Isaac said to Jacob, so that should be it. Like, Isaac is passive, right? Like, this should be enough. We invoked God's name. No more. And then it keeps snowballing. This is not going well. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near me that I may feel you, my son. Oh, this is where the feel, the tactile thing comes in. That I may feel you, my son. Again, my son.
Could I just call the servant in and be like, who is this?
It's a guy with goat hair on. I don't know. Yeah, but, I mean, could have, yes, could have. But in God's providence, he didn't, right?
Maybe Rebecca had it all worked out.
Yeah, Rebecca had all the servants indisposed.
She probably had them out of the way.
Although Isaac doesn't call for anybody.
He's just following his mom's directions.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's all Rebecca's fault. No, are you taking the blame off of Jacob here?
No. She tells him, just do what I say.
All right, so please come near me so I may feel you and to know whether you are really my son Esau, or not. So the linchpin is not going to be the voice, and it's not going to be, he's about to bring up the voice, and it's not going to be the timing of everything, it's going to be how he feels, right? So please come near. And so Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, again, his father, who felt him and said, and this is what he said, he's thinking out loud, he's thinking through the problem here, like he's confused. The voice is Jacob's voice. So he knows, like, it isn't not unrecognizable, but this shouldn't be happening. But the hands are the hands of Esau. So the feeling deception does work. And he did not recognize him. Recognize. So this matches up with, so I can know whether or not you really are. So the end of it is he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother, again, his brother Esau's hands. And then so he blessed him. So this so he blessed him here, this fast forwards like, okay, one reason why Isaac blesses Jacob is because the feeling ruse worked. The feeling deception, the hair deception worked. So this is one reason. That's why he blessed him comes up, but there's not really anything that's said after that. Now he doubles back. So I'll write that down. Hairy man, check. Are you really my son Esau? So doubling down, making sure. Now this is where Jacob has caught on, like his voice is giving him away. Because just like in contrast to verse 19, I am Esau. When he gets down here to verse 24 and he answers, "Who are you really my son?" He just says, I. Like the word, it's not even, so the word for I in Hebrew is normally anoki. Anoki. Here what he says, he says a shortened version of it. He says, ani. Like as quickly as you can get it out and as short as like, ani. I am, yes. I am Esau. So, and Jacob is like, oh, get me out of here. This is not going well. I'm so close. So this I am. So you can even just I. Not even the I am. Okay, then he said, bring it near to me. This is the second time he's, so come near. Now bring it near. These are actually the same words. Bring it near, come near. But now he's talking about the food. So bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you, which is how Jacob introduced everything. Rise up, eat of your son's game that you may bless me. And so now Isaac is on that path. He's going that way. He's agreeing that I may bless you. So now the end of the eating is going to be the blessing. So this would be number two, so not just hairy man, but also food. All right, so those are basically the two check marks that that Isaac requires. Is the man hairy, and does he have food? Okay.
Well, later on, the smell too.
Right. Yeah. That'll be the kicker that says, okay, this really is Esau. Yeah. Good. So then his father said, come near. So this come near matches up with the bring it near and then the come near. So he feels and then the food and then, so yeah, there are three. I forgot about this one. Come near and kiss me, my son. The kissing is part of the blessing ceremony. And again, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him. So now we have three. So this would basically be three witnesses. Isaac confirms who he thinks is Esau by three witnesses. And obviously, so what that would suggest is Jacob has deceived his father by producing three false witnesses. Okay? and it, again, it should have failed right away. Like, as soon as Jacob opens his voice, Isaac should have known and that this is over. Especially because what Jacob will say, what Isaac will say here soon to Esau, that he's a deceiver. He deceived me. Okay, so see, this is blessing number one. Oh, first, any questions or comments from that lead up to this first blessing?
Clarification. So, and he blessed him. That was speaking to like the interview in the brackets.
This one, yeah.
Yeah, right before 24.
Yeah.
So that's not saying that he did bless him. That was just like saying that he was going to bless him.
It's a. It's saying that this is one of the reasons why he blessed him.
Okay. So just explaining.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So his hairy skin confirms one of the confirmations that this is Esau and this is why he blessed him.
So it wasn't saying like he blessed him and then now he's blessing him again.
Right,
it's
like, yeah.
It's just saying, hey, these are the reasons why
he
chose to bless him.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay, so see the smell of my son. Now, he doesn't say, my son Esau. He just says, my son, right? He links the smell of his son to the smell of a field. So the smell becomes the introduction into the blessing. He smells the field. The smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. Now, what's weird about this and where Isaac goes with this blessing is that Esau is a man of the field, but it's the man of a field that's a hunting game field, right? So you're going out and hunting. He's out. He's not in cultivated land. He's not out in the pasture. He's going out to hunt game. And so it's weird that Isaac would bless him in this way because this is contrary to Esau's hobby or what Esau is known for. Does that make sense? This is just weird. and I don't mean weird like wrong or anything. It's like God's word is wrong here or anything. It's just like, Isaac, what are you doing? You intended this for Esau, but this is nothing like Esau.
When they say field, what's the translation? Because if you think of like, open field compared to like a harvest field, is there a different translation for
that? No, it's just a sada is a field. Sadeh is a field. So it can be there are differences between a field and a wilderness. But it's not the word itself. It's where he goes with it. Fatness of the earth, grain, wine. These are cultivated things. These are farming things. So that's why the field thing is weird because he takes it in a direction of not like, hey, abundance of game, but something you've got to actually work the ground for. And it's that it's a field that the Lord has blessed. So he is getting into blessing. May God give you the dew of heaven. What's another word for dew of heaven? We had a lot of it this week.
Rain.
Rain, yeah. So rain, this is something as far as the promised land, Israel, Canaan, it relies on rain. It's not like Egypt later on where you can just basically dig a trench with your toe and that's how you're going to water your crops. You're relying on rain, which means you've got to rely on God. So may God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. So this is agricultural flourishing. Is that how I put it over here? Oh, fruition. So fruition of the land is what he gives them. So grain and wine, again, that's going to be farmed. And then let peoples serve you. So this is plural. Let people serve you. So this is going to, and nations bow down to you. Two ways to say the same kind of thing. So you have dominion, national dominion. And these two kind of work together. That if things are taken care of at home, on your homeland, you're not constantly worried about famine or, and you're providing for your people, well, then that's going to make you a strong people. And you're actually going to be able to exercise influence and authority over those who are around you. So national dominion, domination, and it just progresses here. Be Lord over your brothers. So this even includes family. This doesn't necessarily mean that Isaac has other sons. I think this can also just be translated kin, so just extended family. And may your mother's sons bow down to you. It's the same kind of thing, kin. But Esau would be one of these, right? May your mother's sons bow down to you. So this is even family supremacy. And then finally, curse be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. What does this sound like?
Abraham.
Yeah, Abraham. So the context in which Isaac gives this blessing is an Abrahamic context, and it has to do with the land. It does expand on, it brings out implications of God's blessing upon Abraham in giving Abraham and his descendants the land. It brings out some implications that have not been expressed yet, but God is going to confirm that later on. But this also does something for Isaac. Isaac's bound to this, to what he's just said. He's bound to it, right? He can't, at this point, he cannot go back on what he's just said, because if he would go back, like, he'd be trying to reverse a blessing, which would in effect be a curse, which he has said would bring a curse on himself. Okay. Now, something that happens later on in, I think it's chapter 33 or 34, when Jacob comes back after his time with Laban, he comes back and he encounters Esau again. And what does Jacob do when he encounters Esau ultimately?
Bows to him.
Bows to him. Yeah, like a lot, yeah, over the top. And so what's interesting is that Jacob ends up bowing to Esau in the at the initial point. So there's kind of a reversal there. And there, just, you know, Esau sees all the stuff that Jacob's like giving as a gift and an offering and a present and all that. And Esau's like, what is all this? And he's like, it's for you, my Lord. And all of that, just trying to butter him up and like get out of trouble with his brother. And what does Esau say to Jacob? Do you remember?
Keep it. I don't want to keep it.
Why?
Because I have.
Because I have enough, brother. Like, all is forgotten because of my possessions. And so Rebecca ends up being right. He'll forget about it. It just doesn't happen in a week. Yeah, it happens after a couple of decades, right?
Rebecca never gets to see her son anymore.
Yeah, yeah, right.
She doesn't ever get to see Jacob again.
Right. So, it Esau is...
this they go together Esau, to bury their father, right?
Yeah, the father.
Yeah, they do.
Rebecca had already died. Funeral,
yeah.
Jacob came back. She was already dead.
Yeah, she had already died. So, okay, so that the blessing is done, and then look at God's providence here. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, so as soon as it happened, when Jacob had scarcely gone out, just to emphasize like the timing of this, from the presence of Isaac, his father, again, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. Now, this doesn't mean that he came in directly to Isaac's presence from his hunting. It's that he got back to the compound from his hunting. So he prepares delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game that you may bless me." So what Jacob said. This is basically exactly what Jacob said. Well, no, I mean, like, even how Esau comes in, this is how Jacob comes in. This is what exactly, arise and eat of your son's game so that you may bless me.
He's good at deceiving. He already knew what his brother was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, he knows his brother. Then his father, let me just, all of these family terms. His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" Notice what's missing. My son is missing, right? "Who are you?" It's like, and here it's not written like the I, as Jacob was saying it. It's more in like this timid, like, "What's going on here? I'm your son. Your firstborn, Esau." So it's kind of reversed. Esau waits until the very end to say it, to really say who he is. And at the Jacob fronts Esau at the beginning. "I am Esau, your firstborn." So, you know, and so you can see, you can hear Esau's confusion and Jacob's deception. Then Isaac trembled very violently. This is like an earthquake. And said, "Who was it then that hunted game?" So the deception does work at some level, right? He thinks it was hunted game. "And who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." So he confirms it. And he confirms it because it's the blessing irrevocable. He's about to say, why it is that he can't take it back, but it also has to do with how the blessing went. He put a curse on anybody who would curse him. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. So this actually matches the exceedingly great and bitter cry, it matches this trembling very violently. So Isaac is visibly shaking, and Esau is crying out like it is terrible. Like, this is terrible. We give Esau a hard time because he's an evil man. But this, you can feel the emotion from this. This is a terrible occurrence. And so he says to his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father." So, like, this is what it's all about. Now, notice that it's all about the blessing, but before, with the birthright, he despised it. But he said, "Your brother." So now Isaac knows. He puts the pieces together. He came in deceitfully, Jacob, isn't that his name? And he has taken away your blessing. So he has removed it from you. So what, basically the words that Isaac had given, had spoken to Jacob, regardless of thinking that it was Esau, the words that Isaac spoke to Jacob now belong to him. Those words belong to him. And Isaac can't take them back. That's why they're irrevocable. And this is why last week I brought up like Psalm 15:4. The one who is qualified to be in God's presence, to worship God in his presence, which is how Psalm 15 begins. The one who's qualified is the one who swears to his own hurt and doesn't change. So Isaac doesn't go back on his word, and that's something to be commended here. It also speaks of the power of words, right? What we say, what we promise especially, it matters. There's power in that. There's intention in that. And so it just goes back to integrity, and, you know, being careful how we speak to one another. Isaac gets all of that. But does everybody see why, like, the blessing belongs to Jacob now? Does everybody see that?
Yeah, but I always wonder, like, and I think, I'm trying to remember, I think I've asked you this before. God has the ability to bless and curse. Mm-hmm. And he made that promise with Abraham and made that promise down. I don't understand how men can do that with their words, type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Like how the blessing is passed on from one person.
Yeah,
agree.
Yeah, just their words.
Like I can say that I to my son, I bless you, but what does that actually do? Other than I hold to my words, sure, type of thing. But
yeah, that's a good question. It's because you hold the, as the father of the family, you hold the power to bless you. So and the blessing that you're referring to is when you bless is your role in the family, in the household. And so you're conferring that, passing that on to, this is how a blessing works just culturally. And so I'm just saying generally, and so this happened a lot. Like it happened, like it was a cultural thing for the head of a household to pass on a blessing to an individual in the next generation. And that blessing held the power of the man who gave it. And then it rests upon that one who's received it.
So it's not them actually creating a blessing.
Right.
With their, well, because I look at like verse 28 and 29, like, may God give you this.
Mm-hmm.
May God abundant you. Like, Jacob doesn't have the power to bless him with the fatness of the earth and the rain and cause these things to physically happen.
No, but so this is where it gets particular for Isaac. Isaac possesses that blessing that's been given to him by God. So he knows what the blessing of God is all about, because it's attached to this land. And then he also recognizes, that his descendants are, the linchpin for the relationship of other people with his descendants is the linchpin for whether or not those people are blessed. So his descendants are going to be blessed. And he knows that other peoples need to bless his descendants in order for them to be blessed. They can't curse. And so he is speaking as the recipient of God's blessing and passing that blessing on to his son. The Abraham, he's passing the Abrahamic blessing on to his son.
And he can do that because part of God's blessing was already through his descendants.
Yeah, I would say the way to think about this theologically, so culturally, he's doing what he does. He's doing what the culture does. You know, it's another way to talk about inheritance. Theologically, God backs up what Isaac does in the next chapter. Or when God appears, I think it's the next chapter, when God appears to Jacob and commits himself to Jacob's well-being. So whether Isaac is being presumptuous or not, actually, God's already said that Jacob's going to get it, right? Yep. So we as readers know that Jacob's going to get it. So Isaac is being presumptuous in seeking to bless Esau, whatever it is that he thought he was intending with this. So I think with the land issue and the blessing on the land, I think he was going after, I think last time I was hedging my bets on this, but I think it's more that he is seeking to give the blessing to Esau because he's his preferred son. And we as readers know that that shouldn't be the case. And that's why, and that justifies Rebecca a little bit in what she does. So does that make sense? Culturally, he has the power to do it. He has the ability to do it. He has a responsibility to do it. And then theologically, he's on the right track. He's just speaking about the future, future blessing for his descendants. Okay. Jesslyn, you were agreeing with that question. Did my answer there?
I don't know. I still am just struggling with the idea of a blessing in general, I think. It's just weird culturally to me.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't do it. Yeah. We don't do it.
It just feels like if I would say, you will go to college and get all A's and not eat ramen noodles. I don't know.
If you were the oldest.
Well, I mean, that's an important thing for a college kid. Eating ramen noodles.
I see it more like, all right, you get the house and the 401, like, I'm going to die soon, so you're the kid who gets all my stuff.
Yeah, if you think about it in terms of inheritance, like wrapping up God's promises, if the analogy of an inheritance is helpful, I mean that's probably as close as we can get. So one of the worst things that you could do to a family member is write him out of the will, right?
That makes sense.
The guy with the birthright, the oldest, I think he got a double inheritance.
So we don't actually know. The only time the birthright is really a big deal is when Jacob steals it from Esau. We don't actually know the function that it played because it doesn't come up later.
I think in the culture,
The
oldest got a double inheritance. So when you gave up your birthright, you were giving up your inheritance. I mean,
yeah, and that's where I don't know. I know that at the least, I don't know what it had to do with inheritance. But at the least, it had to do with position, prestige, prominence, power in the family. And this is a little bit of what Laban does.
I was going to say, is that what we saw in Rebecca's family?
I think so.
Laban being the one who spoke and the one who...
Yeah, represents the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't her father.
Even with his father still living, yeah.
Yeah. So in context for today, like if we think of it, if our best analogy is inheritance, I think of like my son, so I'm dying, son, I give everything to you and everything, but I can't, I don't have the promise from God that God will save his soul, so I can't say, you get everything and God will save your soul because it's been, we can't add two promises that were not given.
Yeah.
Jacob isn't adding two promises, he's just
Isaac.
Isaac is just carrying on promises out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's filling in some details about blessing attached to land.
Thinking about it as inheritance, I think is good in this case, but then when you look at like Genesis 49 with Jacob blessing his sons, it's almost like he's a prophesizing what's going to happen in the future. It's like
good
early inheritance.
Good. And that, so that is...
That kind of changes it a little bit with Jacob's, though. It's, I don't know. That's just...
Yeah, the thing about the thing about Jacob's and the blessing that Jacob gives to his sons in chapter 49, he says, he couches the blessing in terms of, I will tell you what will happen in the latter days. So what so what Isaac does in kind of a microcosm, as far as on a small scale, as far as giving dominion to Jacob over surrounding nations within the fam and also within the family, and then having this fruition of the land, agricultural prosperity that actually enables this national prominence. What Isaac does at a small scale, Jacob blows it up. And not just in a context of like in a few generations, or maybe several generations. Jacob actually goes to the very end of time, to the fulfillment of everything. And so that, I will tell you what will happen in the latter days. Is that what you have at the beginning of chapter 49?
Yeah, when Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in days to come."
So yeah, in days to come in Hebrew is the latter days. And that's actually a term that the prophets will use in referring to the end, to the day of the Lord. But basically the time when God fulfills all of his promises to Israel and fulfills his entire plan for the history of the world. And so that becomes, Peter actually uses it too, I think in Acts 2. But that becomes a key term for talking about the very end. And so Jacob just jumps to the very end. And that's typical Jacob, right? He's going to one-up you. And not only one-up you, he's gonna make sure you know about it. Like, he goes extreme on this.
He goes further almost than just being like, hey, because God blessed me, I believe that good things will happen to you. And he's like, it's almost like he's seen it, right? He's like...
Right, yes. He is operating as a prophet.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, look at what just happened to him. He basically just had God come to him and say, go see your son, he's alive, and also you're going to be stuck here for 400 years. But don't worry about it.
Right, God met with them and spoke to them very differently than he speaks to us. Yeah. So, like, we don't have that authority to say, okay, son, you are going to do all these wonderful things, like,
yeah,
because we don't have God speaking. Yeah. Like, we could say, if you believe in this, you will go to heaven. Like, we can promise that to our children.
Yeah.
If you walk according to this word, but God didn't.
These are patriarchs.
Yeah. They
right, yeah.
God
met with them. And the intent of their lives is to set the trajectory for the rest of the history of Israel, and for the end of all history. Like, everything God has said in Genesis, and then he will also say to Moses in Exodus, and then he will also say through Moses to Israel in Numbers, and in not even just through Moses, but also through Balaam. And then he'll also say through Moses to Israel in Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 30 are both key texts here. God has committed himself on a national scale to Israel. And it's because of Abraham's faith, which is expressed in obedience, going all the way even to slaughtering his own son as an act of worship. It's because of that, and God says this, it's because of that God is utterly committed to Israel, even when they disobey, even after they disobey. And so Jacob, at the end of Genesis, he is speaking with the voice of God and talking about the very end of history and the blessing on his sons and his descendants. He's talking about, here's how God is going to bless you. And it's a fitting conclusion for Jacob's life, because he dies immediately thereafter. And it's also a fitting conclusion for the book of Genesis, is that how is it that we're going to get back to Eden? Well, it's going to happen through this nation. It's going to happen through Israel. And so, and Jacob gets it. He gets it, not only gets it, he believes it. And and he prophesies about it. So, yeah, Jacob's blessing definitely is different. But the inheritance, Jacob doesn't talk about inheritance because it's already been settled at that point. The blessing belongs to, we know who it's coming through. The blessing belongs to Israel. Who is Israel? These 12 tribes. The only thing that's left an open question at the end of Genesis is, who's the king going to be? Who's the leader of Israel going to be? Who's it going to come from? Because Jacob talks to Joseph like, you're the leader. He blesses, by blessing Joseph's two sons, he gives him a double portion of the blessing. So kind of what you were talking about. And so that may line up with the birthright. And technically, Joseph is his firstborn of his preferred wife, Rachel. Right? So, you know, maybe he can get a...
But even then, he switches his hands.
Right, yeah. And it's the younger... Yeah.
This is the
oldest. Right. And I don't think Jacob's doing anything, like, deceitful there or anything like that. He's just like, this is how God seems to work.
This
like
is
it's
how
the
gonna be. Yeah,
it's the younger. It seems, you know, it's the younger. Anyway, so Jacob is like, Joseph is present, he's the savior of Israel at that point, right? He's the savior of the family because of how God used him and sent him ahead into Egypt to save his family. But then what Jacob says in blessing Judah is talking about this scepter, and to him belongs dominion, and to him belongs ruling over the nations. And you get these indications going all the way back to Genesis 3 about a foot stomping on somebody's head. And it's like, wait a second. Maybe Joseph's line isn't the thing. Who is it? Oh, it's coming from Judah's line. And then, but that's in part like what we're going to see later on with Judah is that he shows that he's actually, he deserves that. In a good way. Not initially, but he deserves it. Anyway, sorry, Rich. Yeah. So, where this ends up going from here, but just to go through it slowly and to see, like, this is where it started. Like, really, God? You chose this family? Like, you, just because Abraham, like, you didn't put conditions on this? It's like, hey, every generation's got to show the same kind of walking blamelessly after Abraham. Abraham, you did your thing, but... Isaac, you got to do yours, and Jacob, you got to do yours, but God doesn't do that.
And you got verses.
And what?
God hates Esau.
Yeah.
Want to get into that tonight?
Yeah. This does set up for all of that in Malachi, but what that reminds us of, and I brought this up before, and we all know this, but we need to be reminded of it, that God's love for us does not depend on how good of a day we had. Full stop.
It's like a verse I read from Exodus this morning. God remembered his covenant to Abraham,
right.
Isaac, uh-huh. and Jacob.
Uh-huh.
Didn't say anything about Esau.
Right. Yep.
That's the problem.
Right. So, Jacob and Isaac, but Jacob as well, is a reminder to us that God's love, God's devotion, God's faithfulness does not depend on our obedience. Now, does that mean that we shouldn't obey? No, that's not where we go. We be amazed at God. But then we also look at Esau, and Esau, we'll pick it up at verse 30 next time. Esau weeps looking for the blessing, wanting the blessing. And what does Hebrews 12 tell us? He wept. He sought the blessing and he didn't find it. Why? Because he lacked repentance. The way that it's read, he was seeking the... it sounds like he sought repentance and he didn't find it. But no, he sought the blessing, didn't find it. Because there was no room for him for repentance. And so Esau is this... He's also instructed to say, have perspective. Don't live by the seat of your pants. Don't live according to what the immediate payoff is. Because that's what we're continuing to see from Esau. He lives for the moment. And if you do that as a Hebrews congregation, under the threat of further persecution, if you live by the heat of the moment, what are you going to do when they come knocking on your door? Oh, no, I'm with the synagogue. I'm not with the Christians. You see that? So Esau becomes this object lesson. Do not treat your relationship with God the way that Esau did, because you will lose. You will lose. You can't deny Christ because of the heat of persecution and then come back and think everything's going to be okay. You're not going to be able to find what you thought you could find.
The narrow gate and the wide gate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to find.
And that lines up with all the warnings, too, in Hebrews. Yeah. You commit apostasy, that's it. That is it. So don't do it, right? Don't be like Esau. Okay. Anything else you want to talk about?
This is pretty.
It's a great passage, isn't it?
Heavy duty stuff.
Yeah. Zoe, you look like you got something. No? Oh, okay. You're biting your tongue right now?
I have unrelated questions.
Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this evening, and we ask that that you remind us because of this of your faithfulness and put us in awe of you. Strengthen us to not give ourselves the benefit of the doubt regarding our relationship with you. Help us to pursue sanctification, but also cling to Christ. Help us to do all of the above, knowing that you're faithful. And thank you for your faithfulness. That you intended to bless Jacob, and he indeed is blessed. We pray that you fulfill all of your promises, and strengthen us to remain steadfast and endure to the end as we wait for you to fulfill all your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.